everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 146 for Friday, August 9th, 2013. And we got kind of a cool lineup this week. I think we have the best-looking people in podcasting on this podcast right now. We'll start with myself. I am Phil Nickinson. I'm the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and occasionally I play the part of John Belushi. I get that a lot. I don't know why. Jerry Heldenbrand, you guys know him.
Hey, when are these great-looking people coming? They're not here yet.
Right now. Russell Holly on the other side of us, everybody, from Geek.com. Russell's been in the Android space longer than I have, and just an awesome guy. And if you don't know him, I don't know what to tell you, because you're about to meet him now. Russell, what's going on?
Yay! Is that... That can't actually be true. You've been here right around the same time I have, haven't you?
I came on, like, around the original Droid days.
Oh, okay. So, not long.
No, I'm an interloper. I know, right? So, I wanted to bring Russell on. We haven't done that before, and I've been remiss in not doing that, because Russell's awesome. Russell will tell you how things are even more so than I think Jerry and I will. And it's, you know, when somebody tells us how it really is, and that's fun for me, because like, you know what, you're right. And I like to think Jerry and I see things pretty clearly, but every now and then even we need a little perspective, I think.
I think it gets me in trouble more often than not. But
yeah, that's fun too. That's fun too. So I want to keep this really loose this week. By the way, for everybody listening at home, thank you for joining us. If it's your first time, welcome. You're coming along in a weird week, I guess. I want to keep things kind of loose. It's been a busy week. I was in New York again for the LG G2 event, so we'll talk some about that. I want to talk some more about the Moto X, because eventually I'm going to have to write a review. Russell's already done his. I'm still using it. I love the hell out of the phone. I'm still using it every day. I know. Sorry, Jerry. What else do I want to talk about? We should talk about the Nexus 7 and GPS and more Nexus 7 drama going on this week. Anything am I forgetting? I think that's kind of the big stuff. What do you want to start with? You want to talk LG G2 or you want to talk Moto X some more?
Let's go ahead and talk about the G2 stuff just because I wasn't there and I think you of the three of us have the most to say about it.
You don't at all sound bitter about that either.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I was at Jazz at Lincoln Center for LG. It was actually the same venue where the Note 10... No, Tab 10 Note, I forget. It was one of Samsung's ones with the pen last year. Note 10 Tab 2 8.0, I don't remember.
Epic 4G Touch.
Yeah, you know, one of those horribly named things. So, yeah, I remember the venue. What you've got in the LG G2, they've dropped the Optims branding for whatever reason, though it's still going to live on in other phones, just not the high-end ones. Okay. It's a 5.2-inch device. It feels like a big smartphone. The big deal is they moved all the buttons to the back. There are no buttons anywhere on this, you know, no power, no volume buttons. They've all been moved to the back along with the fingerprint scanner. Wait for it. There's not really a fingerprint scanner. I'm kidding. People thought the power button was going to be a fingerprint scanner. And it's a weird feel. I'm withholding judgment until we actually get to use this thing for more than 10 minutes, right? Because something like that takes...
Nonsense. 10 minutes is more than enough time.
Definitive early review.
You don't
review.
Have a review yet? I'm just...
I know, right? I really should. It feels weird. It takes... I mean, imagine, you know, not reaching on the side here, but reaching around to the back. But the idea was, here's a bigger phone. I don't have any phablets. Oh, damn it. I said it out loud in front of me here. But the idea was, because it's a bigger phone, and it's still, you know, fairly wide, even though it's not the biggest phone in the world, right? They slimmed it down as much as they can. They figured, all right, you're holding it differently. What can we do to make that experience easier on you? So they move the buttons to the back. It's different. And they, you know, they give it some extra functionality, right? So you hold down volume up for 3 seconds to get quick memo, which is LG's cool little right on the screen memo stuff. And then hold volume down for 3 seconds to launch the camera, and then the volume down button can also be the shutter. So, I mean, that's cool. At least they did something, you know, you threw a little something extra in there. Fine. Cool.
Just like I said about Samsung, this may suck. It may be horrible. Everybody may hate it, but good job trying it. That's mm-hmm. what you got to do.
I think it's going to be. It's going to take some getting used to. Is what it is. 13 megapixel camera. with OIS, with optical image stabilization. And that's kind of a big deal because most of the time you don't get a resolution that high with OIS. So that was their big talking point on that. They've got some interesting software baked into it. Multitasking is done with this weird three-finger swipe, and you shove. It almost looks like true, like Windows-like multitasking, sort of, where it pauses the app and sticks it over here on the side, and if you want to bring it back, you just bring it back. And you can do four of them, and it brings it back in the same state in which you left it. Audio was another big thing, 24-bit audio, 192 kilohertz.
Did you notice a difference in the sound?
You know, it's tough to it's still coming out of these tiny speakers, right?
Okay.
And it's kind of loud, and it's not boom sound, put it that way. It's not like what HTC has done. It sounded fine. It sounded really nice. I don't know if most people are going to notice. It's loaded up with Vienna Boys Choir ringtones, which...
No, dude, that's awesome.
It's cool, but it's like, okay. I mean, they tell you that, and they're very proud of it, and they brought one of the kids from Vienna Boys Choir, at least that's what they said he did. It could have been some dude pretending, for all I know, out to sing to us at the end of the thing. But it's like, and we have the Vienna Boys Choir, and they're all very excited about it, and everybody in the room's just, yeah. So you got the Vienna Boys Choir.
I mean, I heard one of the ringtones, and I get, you know, being able to say that you've got the Vienna Boys Choir. Like, that's a something that you can kind of wear on your shirt and you know, be proud of. I cannot imagine being on the train or in an airport and having that just start erupting from my pocket. I just can't imagine.
I'm sitting in this briefing room with everybody, and we're all like doing our jobs and working and stuff. And I start flipping through the ringtones, and I'm sitting next to Brian Klug, and from a Nodtech, and he finally just looks over. He's like, "Dude, you have to stop." I'm like, "Sorry," because there were like 10 of them on there. It's pretty. Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. It's like having a boys' choir for your ringtone.
See, I think that's cool.
It is. I mean, it's cool, but I'm not going to use it. I don't use ringtones that much anyway.
I would download them and mix them around a little bit and make my own out of it.
Yeah, I can see that. That I could understand.
Mm-hmm. So the big question is, how much content is there going to be to take advantage of that sort of audio capability? The other weird thing is they say you really have to use it with our bundled headphones, and I forget the name of them. With our awesome bundled headphones that experts say are the equivalent of $200 headphones that we're giving away with the phone, only not in the U.S.
Do they have Motorhead on the side?
They don't have Motorhead on the side.
Cool. By the way, you see
my shirt, speaking of Motorhead?
Yes. Jealous.
I know, it's awesome. My brother sent that to me. What else? Talk about context here. Because it's kind of weird for me, and Russell was at the same Moto X briefing I was at, and it was weird coming off that last week. And I don't want to say this is like, I mean, here's the nut of my review. It's still a phone. I like it a lot. I really like it a lot, despite some of its shortcomings. But it's still just a phone, and it hasn't necessarily changed my view of Android smartphones and how I use them. But this is probably one of the better phones I've used in the past year. There are parts I like the design of this and the feel of this better than the HTC One. And you guys know how much I like the HTC One. So going from using this for the past week back to something that's like a big, slabby, plasticky phone, I think has maybe tainted what I think about it a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I could see that. And that was something that I thought about, like, as I was watching the video. That actually something that I thought, you know, kind of was more to their credit, was the button placement on the back.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought about something that I noticed from using my Moto X was that I kept putting my finger on the camera, like physically on the camera when I go to hold it, and drives me crazy because fingerprints on the camera was crazy. It was just not great. But actually, you know, having the buttons there on that larger phone, I think would really be, you know, the kind of the way to do that. Because we've had a couple of weird phones where it's had that kind of odd resting place for Android, like the droid with the weird camera on the back. The first, like, all big screen droid. I can't even
remember. Oh, the first, the Droid X?
The Droid X, that's right.
Yeah.
That was, you know, another example of, you know, they kind of sculpted the back so that you had a place to put your finger. And having not held the G2, I can only guess that that's kind of how that same thing would go.
Yeah, but I'm getting the same thing with the X. I keep putting my finger right on the Motorola logo, which is, you know, depressed in there a little bit. I don't want to give it short shrift. I think maybe I'm distracted because we're in Moto X mode, and then you have this other event coming up. Because people are really excited about the G2, and I think rightfully so. Jerry, how long have I been saying this? I like seeing cool products come out of LG. They're a fun company. They make good stuff that we don't get here enough in the States. And that's something else worth mentioning. I did specifically ask, are the U.S. carriers going to screw us here? Are they going to, you know, move buttons back on the side where they're supposed to be, or some such nonsense? They said, look, there are going to be some differences between the carrier models. There always are, right? Well, not always. Talk to Samsung and HTC now. But, yeah, I mean, the buttons are still going to be in the back. So that's not going to change. Did you guys see Verizon? I know Jerry saw it. Did you see Verizon's one that we joked was, you know, Verizon releases a logo with a new smartphone attached. And,
logo on the back of the phone, I guess.
But, no, that one on the front up in the corner that's just forced there. I mean, that takes balls the size of that love sack you're sitting on, Russell. That's ridiculous.
You know what? But we complain about that, but then how many of us, and I haven't complained too much, you know, if you look at the Moto X here, you've got AT&T up there in the corner, and everyone's complaining about that, and that doesn't bother me at all. I think I would rather have it there.
I didn't even notice that because I'm actually on the Verizon one.
Right.
And the thing is that the Verizon logo is not on this one.
And I hate you both.
It's not there at all.
I'll just sit in the corner and rub my white Nexus 4. It's okay.
You sleep with that phone, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I named it. It's Lurline.
So it's coming to... the G2 is coming to all the major U.S. carriers. You know, everywhere else all over the world later this year. Obviously no pricing or anything in the U.S. yet. We're going to have to wait for the carrier announcements for that. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
And it's totally the Nexus 5. I heard it on the internet. I don't think so at all.
I don't think it is either. I think it's too big. I don't want a Nexus phone that big. I don't think Google does, and I'm just going to completely tell Google what it thinks here. It's a 5.2-inch device, and that's fine. But, yeah, it needs to be smaller.
The people that enjoy phones that big, and more power to you, I'm glad that they make them, they're very vocal, but the 20 to 30 million that they have sold sounds like a huge number until you compare it to the billion Android devices out there. So it's most people don't want a 6-inch phone, 5.5-inch phone.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. I'm glad somebody's making them for the people that do, but I don't think Google's going to make the Nexus that big.
Do you think LG's going to make it?
I think whoever puts the bid in lowest and can meet the specifications is going to make it.
I know there's a rumor going around right now that it's going to be Motorola, and I would be perfectly happy with a Nexus this size. But you know what? This is really close to an... I mean, look, it's running stock Android with this extra stuff on it. I like this a lot, and I would be perfectly fine with this over Nexus. I'm going to say it now.
If Motorola makes the next Nexus, I will be right there with everybody else screaming for some transparency about the bidding process and wanting to see that they actually competed on a fair level with the other OEMs.
It would be worth knowing, maybe. I mean, you're going to get into, you know, business practices there, and that's just not the sort of thing that anybody talks about. But on the other hand, Motorola hasn't had a Nexus yet.
Right.
Well, they haven't had a Nexus, but they've had release phones. They've had version phones, and that's something that nobody else really has had. So it's kind of weird.
It's very weird. I want to get off the G2. It's coming. When we have more time with it, we'll talk about it some more. It'll be a couple weeks. Moto X, Russell, give me like your 30-second spiel on Moto X and where it lives in your heart now.
I'm a huge fan of the Moto X for the stuff that it does. And the weird thing that I found as I went to use it is that we talk a lot about, you know, things where specs don't matter and where things kind of just work in quotation marks. But really, I found a couple of use cases that appeal to me directly. where it really does, you know, just work. You know, the active voice listening thing, I'm not going to use as often. I don't care quite as much about talking to my phone, but when I do go to use it, it works really well. The touch notification, the kind of breathing pulse mm-hmm. notification is the greatest feature I've ever had on my phone. I haven't seen the lock screen on my Moto X since the day I turned it on. Like, I always use the active notifications.
Let's talk about that for a second, because that comes into when I was doing like an AMA style thing in our forums. Everyone's asking about battery life, and the couple battery life, you know, screenshots I shared, it's, yeah, but what's your screen on time? You know, it's the same crap you get for any phone. This isn't any other phone in that respect, though.
Right.
Because the idea is you're not doing this. You're not turning the entire display off and on to check a notification. All you're doing is popping it up. See if I can get it to, there you go. You pop it up and you just tap it and you just get, you know, a small percentage of pixels firing up instead of the whole damn thing. And that's why it's killing me seeing the same old battery testing. You know, we ran web pages on this thing for 12 hours and it worked great. Well, that's not how this phone works.
Yeah, and it's always really hard for me to talk about battery life. It's something that, you know, first of all, it's always a your mileage may vary kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, even if you have two people standing right next to each other doing the same thing, you know, their location is different. There are just so many different factors when it comes to battery life on things that have cellular radios in them that it's impossible to give, you know, a firm number when it comes to that kind of thing. But I sat, you know, I own, like, I went out and bought an HTC One for my T-Mobile account, and I sat, you know, and I don't have any problems with battery life on my HTC One. I've always been pretty happy with it. But I sat and did the exact same things. I killed a Saturday, you know, testing the exact same things back and forth on an HTC One. My HTC One died after 7 hours, and my Moto X kept going, you know, for another 7 hours. So it's not something, I mean, yes, screen on time is definitely something that is important in certain situations. But like you said, the way that this handles turning the screen on is so different that I don't think it's fair to compare it.
I think I'm right there with you. Like, I'm perfectly happy using the HTC One, and it gets me through damn near my entire day when I needed to. But yeah, the X and just the way it works goes a little bit farther. I was really impressed going up and back to New York this week, you know, and I was gone for 36 hours. And normally that sort of travel is pretty hard on phones because you're bored on a plane and you're bored in the airport and you're just sitting there doing stuff all day long on it, right? And normally when I get up to New York, if I'm at 50%, it's been a good trip, right? You know, Moto X got me through about to the time when I was going to go to bed. On Wi-Fi all day, sitting here, you know, at home, it's, you know, they talk about 24 hours, and I'm sure if I didn't have to sleep, then it would be 24 hours. Right. You know, I'm going to bed. I'm going to plug the phone in. I've been really, really impressed with it. You know, and charge your phone. I still have no problem charging my phone if I need to, or if I think I'm going to need to. Just plug it in.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing that you on the Moto X that you can be really kind of, you know, if you choose to be really picky about battery life, it has a battery saver function
mm-hmm.
that offers one of the flattest battery lines for inactive use that I have ever seen on a phone. I mean,
you're going to make me buy one.
That you hit the power saver. Like, I could easily see hitting the power saver, going to bed, you know, sleeping for 8 hours, and being surprised if it had consumed more than 1% of battery life.
Yeah. Camera.
I don't like this camera. There are a couple of things about it that are kind of cool, and I think that I'm spoiled by the oversaturation and post-production stuff that goes on in the HTC One for me to be, like, truly fair against the Moto X, but it's not... And launching it is a lot of fun. I use that double twist thing way more than I thought I was ever going to. I thought it was really silly when they first announced it. But
do you find you're using it like and it's working? Because I'm still having. It didn't work for me that time. That time it did.
Yeah. So I think like the very first time I went to use it, it missed. And then I think it's probably missed one or two other times since then. But usually it hits right on. And it's really useful when you're doing things that you should not be doing, like using the camera while driving.
Right.
Because you don't have to look at the screen or anything. But yeah, it's, you know, The camera, I love the UI. It's so dead simple, but I'm not a fan of the pictures that I get from it most of the time.
I got a lot that are turning out pink. And yeah. It can take pretty good pictures, but there are a lot of them. There's one I showed Jerry an example, and he's like, oh, that was pretty good. I said, well, let me show you the 4 it took for me to get it into focus.
Right. Yeah, the focus. That's like the biggest problem with it, I think. It's that it, like with the HTC One, you tap and it focuses, and then you go to take the picture. And with this, it'll either autofocus on its own, or you can tap to focus. But if you use their tap to focus, it still takes the picture after you've tapped.
Right.
Well, now, to be fair, the first 3 HTC ones I had didn't tap and focus and work. Like they
no,
were
that's
supposed
very
to.
True. Yep.
So, you know, I think if you can get a good picture, the rest is just software. Let's hope somebody can fix it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's interesting how they simplified that camera app, though. Right, when everybody else is throwing so many features into it, it's like, all right, you get HDR, you get panorama, that's it. It needs Photosphere. I'm still waiting for somebody else to do everything at once who's not LG or who's not Google or CM, I guess.
Oh, man, the CM Photosphere. I love the Focal guys to death, and I talked to the guy who created the Photosphere and the stuff that he went into to create, you know, to create that thing, but it takes a long time to do a Photosphere on Focal, like a long time.
It needs to happen because I miss it. It's so much fun. What about? I'm gonna set my phone off. Okay, Google Now. 2, 3. It didn't even work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, Google Now.
We could just
still. Why are you not working? Am I like the vampire of smartphones? Here, I'll try it on camera. Okay, Google Now.
Oh, and it works right then and there.
I know, go figure. So you said you're not using that much. Neither am I. And I found it's a little slower than I want it to be on the times that I do use it. I mean, it's not like painfully slow, but it's not immediate, like something that's supposed to be this special. It is cool that you don't have to touch anything. I do like that. But for me, it's still kind of a novelty.
It's been cool when I've been in the car. It's been cool to do that, especially if I go to tell it to play music or something like that, because I can just, you know, because it's Google Now, I can just say, you know, play this artist and it'll start playing it. So that's cool when I'm driving. I don't use it as much when I'm at home, mainly because, you know, a lot of the stuff that I use is app focused,
right?
Like home automation and stuff like that. So all I'm really doing is telling it to launch the app, and that's not really saving me any time.
You know what else I liked is how they moved the smart action stuff into, I mean, you no longer just have smart actions and then you choose what to do. They folded it into this Moto Assist thing. The driving works really well. I turned it on and then forgot I turned it on.
Yep.
And it starts playing music back for you as soon as it realizes you're driving. I'm not sure why you would want that, but all right, whatever. But then my wife called and, you know, that worked like it was supposed to. Hey, your wife is calling. Do you want to pick it up? Sure. And then you're just talking. You know, that worked great. The business stuff worked great.
The sleeping stuff works great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really, really impressed with what they did on the software. I mean, it's stock Android, so if you're, you know, if you got a hard-on for that, it's there and it's great. But everything they added doesn't overwhelm it. And I'm not even talking UI. I'm just talking, you know, speed and flexibility. It's all very natural feeling the way it got folded in.
Yeah, and that Bluetooth trusted. Mm-hmm. I want Bluetooth trusted to be a system-wide feature. I really hope Google adopts that into the entire platform, because that was incredible to see how well that actually works.
That's the one where you say, all right, here's a trusted Bluetooth device. You know, you don't have to worry about lock screens anymore or whatever. It just works.
Yeah. So, like, it, you know, because I use glass all the time, if I'm in, you know, if I'm within Bluetooth range of my phone, it recognizes glass and it turns off my lock screen. So, like, I have a pattern lock on my phone, which I know is not the most secure, but it's fun. but so, like, you know, if I set glass down in my office or to set it to charge or something and go out somewhere, then my pattern lock it returns as soon as it disconnects from Bluetooth. And I think that's incredibly useful.
Jerry, we're gushing here. You're going to do it.
I've noticed. I would buy one, Phil. I would buy one right now. I've got the money set aside. I want one of these phones. I don't have a problem with the cost. I don't have a problem with the specs. I'm very interested in the software. Hell, I'm interested in the hardware. Mm-hmm. I don't want to buy one through Verizon or AT&T, so I have to wait for Motorola to sell them themselves. Unless you want to buy me one, so I'm not paying AT&T, then I'll buy it off you.
We've been so spoiled by Nexus, I think.
I think so.
Russell, let me ask you, Russell, because you were in the same briefing I was last week. Did you get out of it that they're going to do a Google Play edition, or that they were just going to sell it in Google Play?
Yeah, that's what I got from that. And there were so many people who ran off that it was going to be a Google Play edition, and I didn't get that at all. What I heard was that it was going to be in the Google Play Store, which made sense to me.
And moreover, I have a feeling if they're going to do that, they probably don't even know yet.
Who would want a Google Play edition of a phone whose biggest draw is the custom software?
Exactly.
Again, I don't get it.
Like every other phone.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. And the one thing we haven't even talked about yet is Motomaker, is being able to customize these things and get crazy different colors, to say nothing of wood.
I want the wood. Phone.
The wood is really cool.
I have wanted a yellow phone since I first saw with those Nokias. I will have a yellow one.
You're going to be able to get one. So Motorola... Motorola just sent those of us who were at the event an invite to actually try customizing one, so we can test out that process and see how it goes. So that'll be fun. I don't think wood's ready yet. Huh? That's too bad.
Yeah, they said not until Q4, which made me sad, because the dark wood one with the black front, I really enjoyed that phone. It looked so
really
nice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's wood? I could take a wood burner and carver to it?
Yes, absolutely. It is 100% wood. And, you kind of have to be careful with the demonstration units that they had. One of them was a softer, lighter wood. I don't remember which one specifically, but, I ran my thumbnail across it, and I was actually concerned that I was going to, scratch into it.
It's teak mahogany, rosewood, and bamboo.
Yeah, I think it was the bamboo that was really soft.
That opens up a huge world of, modders and the player, the stuff they could do.
Mm-hmm.
You could carve it, do all sorts of stuff to it, then shellac it, make it hard again, and have a true one-of-a-kind phone.
Yeah, even more so than otherwise.
Than just having a wood one.
And the wood ones aren't going to be out till later, and that gets you into Nexus time frame, and it's going to be an interesting fall. I think I'm excited for it. I think Motorola's done a great. Here's my review: great friggin' phone, so camera.
Dude, just write that and post it.
I really should. There's my review.
Mic drop.
That's why I've been delayed in writing it, because I'm just using it and it's not tough to figure out. Everyone's, it's got all these features. No, it's that simple, right? You get notifications, you tap to see them. You want to talk to it, talk to it. Okay, Google Now. Okay, Google Now. Now it works. Where is Phil's Moto X review? Let's see what it says. See, that's kind of slow for me. It's great radio, I know.
Wait, it showed a picture of your house.
There we go. I'm just enjoying using the phone that much. I love having this size. For me, having the smaller size with the big screen is perfect. That's what I want. And this thing's even smaller than the Nexus 4. I showed it to the LG guys the other day, and they're like, really?
You're just going to keep showing that to me, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Buy one, Jerry. Buy
Bastard.
One. Buy one. What else? Nexus 7, drama. Let's start with today's drama. Everyone finally started writing about the GPS problems. They've been talking about it in our forums since the 29th, 30th. Supposedly you can get a GPS lock for a while and then it drops. And supposedly Google has said, yes, there's a problem, we're working on it. I'm waiting to hear back for anything official. I don't know enough about GPS and how it works to really... be like, yeah, it's broken, I don't use GPS that much on tablets. Messing with it today, trying to see what I could see, it's been working fine, and I've had it on for 2 hours. You guys seeing anything?
I tried it after everybody said it didn't work, and I said, oh, it works, and then I shut it off and was done. It's a Wi-Fi only device. The GPS on it is not important to me.
Yeah.
So I just moved past it.
I have it. I don't think I'd actually used the GPS on the new Nexus 7 since it came out of the box. I mean, it wasn't something that... That's not what I use that hardware for. And really, you know, the Nexus 7, my kids use it more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I took it and, you know, I drove it around with it on. Like, Wi-Fi tethered to my phone, I didn't notice anything. But yeah, I was surprised, really, if anything, to see that there were so many people interested in using it for its GPS capabilities. That I thought was the most interesting part of that.
Yep.
I think that's one of those things as editors and publishers that we need to remember that, like, whenever somebody says, oh, nobody uses it like that, yes, somebody uses it like that. Or, you know, everybody uses it like that, and then there's somebody who doesn't. So the other drama this week, of course, is, you know, word that doesn't look like we're going to get factory images for this thing anytime soon. And here's my quick take on it. And I don't want to get into the drama involved because, to me, that's not important. I've said for a long time, I think Android is far bigger than just one person or one person in any one job. But I think people are coming about this the wrong way. I think, and you know, we're not entitled to these factory images. There's so many moving parts that go into AOSP and go into Android and go into being able to release any of this stuff publicly that, yeah, they're roadblocks and they're hiccups and it sucks and it's a pain, but we're not entitled to any of this stuff. We didn't get true factory images for the Nexus 1. You know, the Nexus 4 had a couple issues, and you know what? We didn't have factory images for the new Nexus 7 last week, or when it was released, or, you know, when they released them for the other 4.3 devices. So, you know, suddenly we care? No, if you didn't care last week and you're screaming now, you're barking up the wrong tree.
That's stop blaming Qualcomm.
And stop blaming Qualcomm. And don't make petitions.
unless you know the answers and want to tell us.
Right.
But if you're just assuming from what you read on Google+, stop.
There's so much just, well, it's got to, no, it doesn't have, I mean, so many moving parts that we just do not have the answers to. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I would rather have factory images, yes, but I'm not about to just start spouting off, it's got to be this and got to be this. And I don't know. Not until I'm home.
After I'm finished fooling around with what I'm doing now, I'm going to completely wipe mine and I'll just directly pull every image and post them in the forums, and then you've got factory restored images you can flash.
Which is what we did before factory images were a thing.
We've gotten so lazy. We need toolkits, and no, just
That's every phone should come with a separate piece of paper that when we take it out of the box says, go to this website for a one-click everything.
It should.
Yeah, but that's... This isn't Oz, so quick complaint.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about that, I think.
The less said, the better, until we know the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. What else?
As an aside,
yes.
Can any of the three of us pronounce JBQ's name?
No.
Jean-Baptiste Carew.
Yes.
I've tried twice and have been wrong both times.
I'd stop.
I could be wrong too, but
I just stop. I don't know. Android 4.3 coming out to the Google Play Experience devices. Cool.
Very surprised it didn't ship with them. If you want my opinion, they've had that code forever.
The difference between the two is really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for all the HTC stuff to be pulled out of the 4.3 ROM really just kind of screams how fast they moved to get it up there. And then the 4.2.2 Galaxy S4 Google Play Edition had some weird TouchWiz fragments left in, like the stock email app. Not even the you know, Gmail app, but the stock email app had the TouchWiz arrows when you went to highlight stuff. Just really weird fragments of stuff left in there.
Yeah, you could see some last minute scrambling to get those out the door, whatever it took.
Yeah.
And that's why when, you know, we saw stories coming out of the LG stuff this week, you know, we have no plans to make a Google Play Experience device. They don't know. They absolutely don't know until Google tells them, and then they're gonna bust their ass to get it done, just like everybody else.
Right. If they get invited, say yes.
We did that story that was it the Xperia Z or something was gonna get, and that hadn't happened yet. We might well have gotten that wrong. I don't know. But I mean the fact of the matter is, this stuff moves so quickly. And, you know, so many stories about something that doesn't happen. Tell me about when it does, then I care. That's my thing. What else is going on? I told you we're keeping it loose this week, so I'm not prepared for anything at all.
You totally have to get some of those crazy-ass light switches that I played with yesterday.
Yeah. Talk about that for a second. So today we put up Jerry's review of the Belkin. How do you pronounce it? Wemo?
Wemo is what I've been saying. That could be wrong, too, but sounded good. They're cloud light switches. You hook them in, you know, where a regular switch is. Use the Android app to set them up so they're connected to your home Wi-Fi. And then once you tie them to your device, you can use them anywhere. I can drive 100 miles down the road, and as long as I have an internet connection, I can turn the lights on and off in my office. That's just cool, man.
So it's really not it's not network based like, you know, Chromecast or whatever else.
No, it's cloud based.
Yeah.
Which has its drawbacks. You know, I hope there's not somebody out there whose life is dedicated to hacking the light switches in Jerry's house. But if there is, I mean, it's
I totally hope. No, I still hope there's somebody out there whose sole purpose in life is to go turn your bathroom light off.
That would be kind of awesome. I mean, yeah. But, and I know this isn't the first time we've seen this, but this is the first time it's been this easy. The hardest part is changing the light switch. If you've done handyman kind of work, that's not hard at all. And the rest is actually just push one button, enter your Wi-Fi password, and then you can sit here at your desk and go on, off, on, off, on, off. And you can watch the dog get afraid in the other room because you're turning the lights on and off. It's easy, and I love easy. So I think they're really cool, and at $50 a pop, I've ordered a couple more. I mean, I'm going to have a blast with these.
They're definitely cool. I read your coverage of them, and it kind of made me angry at the setup that I have in my house. I have the plugs that go into the existing outlets, and you can plug other stuff into, and then you can control those. And I've got a couple of, like, the pedestal lights in my house, so I have, you know, a couple of lights in my house that I can control the same way that the Belkin stuff works. But none of that stuff works, you know, where you can actually go in and control the switch. This is a way better implementation, I think.
Yeah, they're lacking in some features because it's done this way. There's no dimming. Three-way switches aren't going to work. You know, and maybe they can fix that in the future, but for a first-gen product, it's pretty sweet. I haven't been this excited in a long time about a toy. I totally want you to get one.
Yeah.
And then connect it to IFIT, so when you're acting all outlandish, I can shut your computer off. Just click.
I will say that it is a bad idea to mess with the lights when you're not home and the wife is.
Yes, that would be bad.
I learned that lesson the hard way, and few things in the world are as embarrassing as your wife digitally locking you out of your house.
That's why I haven't gotten a Nest yet, because I'll be on the other side of the world or something, and she can't turn the air conditioner on, and that would just be bad.
But then you could. All she'd have to do is call you.
Yeah, I don't want to. We're all still liking Chromecast. That hasn't worn off yet.
I definitely am still excited by the Chromecast. And that was, like, so, you know, like the other two of you, I get excited by pretty much any shiny new thing that crosses my desk. But what made the Chromecast important in my house is that everyone else picked it up and started using it. My kids started using it. My wife started using it. It was a day one. Everyone in the house figured it out and they're still using it. So it's definitely a win for me.
You guys leave yours plugged in all the time? That was kind of a big question we asked yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely do.
I'm not reaching back there to unplug it. Now, I could get one of these little lights.
I was just about to say, you could get a Wemo for your Chromecast.
But I'm sure it doesn't draw very much power when it's not actively streaming something. I guess I could strip the wire and split out the conductors and hook an Ampeg up to it and see. Maybe I'll do that over the weekend. But I'm not really concerned. And you know what? It's $35. If it lasts a month less because it's been on all the time, I'll just buy another one. Yeah, I'm not crawling back there and unplugging it.
Oh, hey, you know what else finally went live this week was the Android Device Manager. so you can track your devices, speaking of turning stuff off and on. Let me see if it's actually working, because it hasn't been.
Dude, wipe your Moto X.
No. Oh. Can't make me. No, it hasn't actually, like, it recognizes all the devices now, and that's cool. But it can't actually locate any of them. It hasn't rung any, like, it's got the button to make it ring for 5 minutes.
Do you have the infinite tech blogger first world problem where the list doesn't scroll down to all of your devices?
Yes.
Yeah.
I laughed so
much. Oh, hey, I just found it finally. Cool.
Oh, now just press the button that says to wipe your device.
No, I'm going
to
press the ring button. It'll ring for 5 minutes. Press the power buttons.
If you haven't seen this, go to
android.com. You need, the new versions of Google Play services, and you have to turn it on and stuff. But it's going to find your phone. Uh-oh, it's not ringing the phone I thought it would. Now I have to go find it.
Now you're doomed. It'll ring for 5 minutes.
a little trick somebody told me about getting the newest Google Play services.
Cool.
Rather than grabbing one from, a maybe possibly untrustworthy place on the web, uninstall all the updates to Hangouts, reinstall them from Google Play, and you'll get the latest Google Play services.
Yeah, I'm so not a fan of that anymore. With all the changes Google's making, again, just be patient. Be patient.
Download from our mirror, bro.
No.
It's easy to say be patient when you're not the one who waited 3.5 weeks for maps. That killed me.
Yeah.
I waited 3.5 weeks for maps. I wasn't at I.O. this year. My boss was. And so he messed around with the new maps and showed me how good it was, and I had to sit there and wait. It was terrible.
I was sitting there.
I get it.
I'm not going to out who I was sitting with, but I was sitting with somebody who had the Google Play, who was in on the Google Plus beta while they were dog fooding it, before this last round of big changes, and this person was showing it to me. I'm like, you suck. That's how that feels, huh? Thanks. All right, cool. It's seeing my devices now, so it just took a little while, but that's good. I'll ring the Moto X. Ring! Ring!
Well, you have to say, hey, Google, now ring.
Oh.
Do the HTC One. The dogs in the neighborhood will all die.
It is so loud. Cool. No, look, this is a huge, for me, this is a huge addition for Google. Mm-hmm. And Dieter Bohn and I have talked about that off and on, and I talked to him for a story he did at The Verge about how it needs to be as easy for Google to get rid of your information, for you to wipe your information, as it is for you to give it to them in the first place. So to me, that's a pretty big deal.
It's definitely a cool thing.
Yeah.
To everybody that's been complaining that, oh my God, it looks just like Find My iPhone. Well, that's correct, because if you go to iCloud.com and look in the bottom right corner, it's all powered by Google.
There you go. Anything else you want me to dig through the email? I can come up with a couple questions real quick. Chris writes, and Russell, chime in here. Chris writes, hey Phil and crew, I'm heading to Manchester and Barcelona in early September, and I want to know the best way to use my phone while abroad. I know there are prepaid SIM cards, but know nothing about the rules and restrictions for using one. I have a Nexus 4 on a T-Mobile prepaid plan.
Well, the best way to use a Nexus 4 abroad is to show chicks in bars, because when they see the Nexus 4, they're coming right over.
The Nexus 4 that you buy from T-Mobile, is that still unlocked? Is that still SIM unlocked?
Yes.
Okay. So all you got to do is, and this is exactly what I do when I go to Barcelona. You go over there. I think, who did I use last year? I think I used Vodafone, and they have prepaid SIMs that are actually fairly reasonable in price, and you just buy one. And, if you're lucky, if you speak Spanish, awesome. Makes it that much easier. I don't. You buy one, and I can't remember if I had to change the APN settings this past year or not, or if it just worked. You might have to change the APN settings, which, depending on how much English you get in the documentation, could be easy. It could be tough. I don't know. I want to say it just worked this year, though. You do have, data caps on this stuff, supposedly. It just depends on what you get, right? It just works. That's it only works within that country generally. So just ask them when you're there. Where else are you going? Barcelona and Manchester, England. So yeah, I mean, it just depends on where you're buying it. Ask, but fairly straightforward, especially if you have a Nexus. You know, you don't have to worry about getting SIM unlock codes.
And... in Manchester, swing by Alex's house and let him borrow a SIM card.
Exactly. Make
there
Alex
are no
up.
Prepaid SIM cards, by the way, that do Bluetooth tether, and if the SIM provider catches you using Wi-Fi tether when you're not supposed to, they'll just shut you down.
Right.
Like, you can't even call in. They'll just turn your thing off. So, you know, be nice when you go to use it.
Because they've already got your money. They don't care at that
right.
point.
And then you'll be at the American consulate, and they'll be looking for you, wanting to put you in jail, and it's just going to get ugly.
Jose writes, is there some website I can visit to check what high-speed options I have available from T-Mobile, be it HSPA, HSPA Plus, or LTE? I'm nearing the end of my contract with Verizon, and I will be leaving. I would start at T-Mobile's website.
Sensorly.com
Yeah.
Might be another great place to look.
Yep.
Actually, the best thing to do is to don't put any stock in all that stuff you see online. Find a neighbor that has used or is using T-Mobile and say, hey, how does your phone work here and here and here? Because if I go by what it says on the internet and I go by what it actually is by traveling around, two very different scenarios.
I can't remember if I don't think it's been published yet. But we had a big thing in Talk Mobile about that because I remember writing exactly what Jerry just said. So I'm looking to see if it's published yet. I don't think it has. But yeah, exactly that. Ask your friends first, by far. Mark writes, do you think that phones with slide-out hardware keyboards are endangered or extinct already? And this is the international symbol for slide-out hardware keyboard, by the way. I wouldn't ask you to break any NDAs or anything, but I'm wondering if you know anything.
Whatever you do, Phil, don't break any NDAs.
No. I'm not currently under any NDAs for slide-out hardware keyboards, if that's any indication of if we're going to see one anytime soon. Samsung did a follow-up to the... what was it? Stratosphere? I think that's the last one we've seen.
We haven't seen a decent one since the last Droid.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're gonna. And that's kind of sad.
People don't want them any. I tell you, I still miss, and it just never really worked with Android, but I still miss the idea of the BlackBerry-style keyboard.
Yep.
I was talking to somebody last night about my first love and the Trio 750. But, I think they're probably done. Russell?
The closest thing that you can get now is the accessories, like the Bluetooth accessories that clip on your phone and give you the keyboard. And some of those are not terrible, but they're really limited on screen sizes. Most of them are made for the iPhone, so it's hard to get one if you've got, you know, like a Galaxy Note, you can pretty much forget it. But...
Adrian writes, I don't suppose you have any more Chromecasts lying around, do you? No, man, I only mailed off 7 in the past week, so I'm sorry, I'm fresh out. I'll order some more at some point, we'll give some more away, absolutely.
I'm trying to find a third one, and nobody, not even Amazon has them right now.
I know, it's, look, $35, is that surprising at all?
But it's exciting, you know, hopefully the next, you know, week or so they come back. Because, like, too long without them, I think, could be bad. But I think we've got a little bit of time there. Because we're not going to have developer apps for a while.
Right. I'm going to totally butcher this name, because it looks like it's Dutch, maybe? Arjun82 writes, with all this new Android device manager stuff and protection Google is offering, do we still need dedicated virus scanners, or does Google have us covered?
There was not ever... in the history of Android, the point in which you needed a virus scanner, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think
depends,
I am.
Depends on what you do. If
that's true.
If you're doing stuff you know you shouldn't be, there's no virus scanner that's going to help you.
Yeah.
There's just no way to answer that. It's nothing can happen on Android unless you okayed it first. Watch what you're giving permission to, watch what you're installing, and you're fine.
Just diving through the rest of these emails real quick. And wow, these are getting old here. I'm really behind. I want to find one more.
The 11th one. Read it.
The 11th one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Quick question from Eric. I just read all the new Droid specs for Motorola's upcoming phones. How are they able to achieve or claim to achieve the 24 and 48-hour battery life? Are they using a new kernel, or is it they're only running dual-core chips? What's the deal? You know, we didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about the Motorola X8. It's not a processor. It's not a
computing system.
Computing system, yeah.
Because we don't know yet. That kills me. I want a white paper. Motorola, if you're listening, send it now. What Brian wrote was kind of really cool. He understands a lot of this kind of stuff, and I understand a little bit of it too. And it's either very, very exciting, or it's a bunch of PR speak for nothing new. And
I think what it's doing, and the Droid phones do it, the Moto X has it as well. You've got your basic, your kind of normal-esque system, right, where you've got this dual core processor and it has application processors and then it has graphics processors, right? And then they have these separate, one of them they call a, oh, Russell, help me remember, computational, what was it? Contextual.
Context language processor and the natural language processor.
Right, so those have been offloaded to these separate cores that do all that work, so you're not firing up the application processor every time. And that's how they're able to keep the power usage down.
The real unknown is these separate cores, these contextual, whatever the hell they're called. Are they actually running independently in an independent subsystem that communicates with the kernel on its own? I've heard both ways. If they are, that's very, very exciting. If they're not, shame on you for making me think it does, but it still could be exciting. I really want to check them out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to argue with results. We're obviously seeing something different from these phones.
Yep.
There's something different and special going on. It's my gut tells me that it's not as special as they're making it sound.
Never
part
is.
Me really wants to, you're right. Part of me really wants to. I mean, it's, you know, a digital signal processor that does the cool, you know, wake up stuff, and, you know, something that does a better job with things like inertia and waking the screen and things like that, which are really cool. But I, you know, until we know more about exactly what silicon is under there, it's just not going to matter, really.
I tell you, the funny thing after all this is everybody talking about always listening. And, you know, as this phone is sitting here, I don't get the feeling that it's always listening to me. Right?
Make
I
mean, it apart.
Even if it's always listening, it certainly isn't always paying attention.
Right, exactly. Okay, Google Now. Didn't work. Okay,
Take
Google
it apart.
Now.
Maybe it's clogged up.
Now it worked. Maybe it is. I broke it. I don't get the feeling that it's always listening. And I don't get the feeling that there are these 5,000 sensors in here that, you know, I don't necessarily have in any other phone. It just
and there's a huge difference between always listening and always paying attention to what it hears. It only pays attention to, okay, Google Now.
Right.
It doesn't pay attention to Phil telling dirty jokes to his wife or yelling at his kids or... You know, that stuff, it may actually hear it, but it doesn't process it. It doesn't care.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I think that when Phil goes to sleep, the Moto X gets up, walks over to his dresser drawer, and goes through his wallet. And
could be.
I think that that's really what's going on here. That's what those cores are. They're legs. So that the phone can walk around.
I think that's going to do it. on that note, we shall end it. Hey, by the way, and I'm going to give Russell a chance to plug his stuff here in a second, but I'm going to plug mine first. We're working on the next version of the app, the Android Central app, version 1.4. Don't know when it's going to be ready. We're getting there. It's looking really exciting. Some good stuff, some good fixes. Supposedly, it's going to be even faster, and that's saying something because I think it was pretty damn fast to begin with. So I'm right up there with you guys. I'm waiting to see it myself. We're kind of ramping the beta program back up, so if you haven't joined yet, go to the group, and as soon as we get a new beta version ready, we will kick it out there before we kick it out to everybody else. So if you've already downloaded it, awesome. Thank you. Go leave a review. That's that. So, Russell, where can we find you? What do you do? Why are you such an awesome person?
I cover mostly mobile stuff, but occasionally I will mess around with video games and you know, all kinds of stuff. This weekend in particular, I'm actually goofing around with people in costumes just because it's fun. But all of that stuff can be found over at geek.com.
Awesome. Jerry Hildenbrand, you guys know him.
You can find me at the bar or on Android Central.
We're all on Google Plus. That's probably the best place to find any of us. Now, Jerry has disowned or disavowed Twitter, I guess.
Hey, man, I can't say anything on Twitter without 100 people asking me to win an iPad. I'm done. If they can't control that, I've just got no use for it.
Nice. All right, well, that's it. I think we're out of here. Everybody listening at home, thank you, guys. Everybody listening live, you're awesome. Everybody in the chat room. I forgot to mention the chat room tonight. I'm sorry. I miss you guys. I really do. And we'll be back next week, I guess.
Toodles.